1600 years ago, everybody knew that the world was the center of the universe. 600 years ago, everybody knew that the world was flat. What other changes has there been throughout time? As the world turns, there is change. And it's gotten to the point now in the religious world where it's changed to, if it feels good, just do that. And believe that that is right. And if you do what you think and you believe it with all your might that that is right, then that will save you. Well, I'm here to tell you that the Bible teaches something totally different. That as technology and industry and we get smarter, those changes happen. God does not change. That's what our study is this evening. That is, everything around us is changing. And we're... this credit card company, you know, we're changing the way you do business. And all that's good, but when it comes to changing what the Word says, you can't do it because God does not change. He has been the same from the beginning till right now. And as we study, we'll see how that unchanging God is a great thing to have, because the last thing that I want to do is serve a God that changes, because I despise working for anybody that changes the way they want to do something. If they want me to edge the yard every time, just want, you know, right there on the driveway, and then the next time they want me to, you know what, I'd rather you edge it about 4 inches off the driveway. You know, nobody likes working for anybody that can't make up their mind and how they want something done. You know, I want you to turn these papers in this order. And then the next week, well, I wish you to turn them in this order. You know, we don't like that. And that's the beauty of serving a God that does not change. A God that does not change. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. It tells us, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I am the Lord, and I change not." Hebrews 13:6 tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That is coming up. He is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. That's something that doesn't change. Something that never will change forever. How long is forever? That's, I heard a guy describe forever. He was talking about eternity. How long is eternity? Eternity is forever. And well, if you were to take a bird and he took one little grain of sand, and that bird took that grain of sand from Mobile, Alabama, and he took it to the moon, and that bird flew back to Mobile, Alabama, and picked up another grain of sand. And he did this back and forth for all the little grains of sand all over the world, that eternity would just be getting started. And you think about how long it takes us to send a space shuttle to the moon. Even much longer is it going to take a bird. And even then, eternity is just getting started. Jesus will never change. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 102. Read a few verses here. Psalms 102, let's begin in verse 25. "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." Everything around us changes. The mountains change with erosion. The valleys, the rivers change. Hurricanes, tornadoes, they change our lives. Everything changes. But God does not change. He said, that cloak grows old. Yes, they will grow old like a garment. But you are the same. And your years have no end. So what about God doesn't change? His essence does not change. In Exodus chapter 3, we have Moses speaking to the burning bush, which is God. In Exodus 3 verse 14, it says, "And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." Now, I don't know in your text, but in my text, the I am is capitalized. Is that the way it is in y'all's Bible? The I am is capitalized. When you see Lord in all caps, maybe y'all have discussed this before, but Lord in all caps, you know, that is not talking about a Lord. You know, they used to have the Lords over this little area here in England. He would be the Lord of Ireland or whatever. I don't really know how it all worked. But he would have the Lord of that little area. But he was not the Lord of Lords. He was not Jehovah. When you see the word Lord in all caps, that is Jehovah. That is the God who created the heavens and the earth. This is the God of gods. This, when they would write these letters, they wanted to separate that this isn't just a God that maybe y'all serve over here in this foreign country. Maybe this isn't just the God you people of Edom serve. This is the Lord of Lords. This is Jehovah. When He says, I am, it represents the word Yahweh, which is translated to be. Jehovah to be. He is. He is. He is not. He is here now. He is. I am. This is a current verb. Yahweh is Jehovah. And to the people in Israel, in Egypt, these Israelites are saying, you know, I am. Why would that be important to them? Why would it be important that I am has sent me? That the God who is present has sent me? Because these people were in Egypt for all those years in bondage as slaves. And they probably began to think that maybe God's turned their back on them. But when Moses comes in with that message that I am has sent me, what is the reaction? He's still here. They were happy. I am has sent me. Has sent Moses. The essence of God does not change. Turn to Psalms chapter 139. These Israelites maybe thought they were starting to be a little alone in Egypt. Verse 7 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell with the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even at night shall be a light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." It doesn't matter if you go to the highest high, to the lowest low, in the deepest darkness. God is there. He is always there. He's that omnipresent being. He sees everything. He is everywhere around you. And that does not change. That He will always be there. His love has not changed. He loved the Israelites in Egypt. He took them into the face of giants, through tyrants, through wars. And He always called them My people. God, love does not change. His love remains today. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By grace, by love you have been saved. Nothing that you did saved you. Nothing that you could have done has saved you, but it was the love of God. Let there be no doubt that as you sit here this evening, there's nothing you can do to earn salvation. We'll go a little deeper in that in just a moment. But it is through grace of God. And why would He have that? Because He loves. He loves you. He loves me. His love does not change. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. His love. He does not change His mind. He does not change His mind on things. We talked about a while ago, you know, I didn't like working for anybody that changes his mind. Well, God doesn't change His mind. Sometimes it really may kind of hurt Him a little bit, but when He says something, He means it. And if He sets a law before His children, if they do not obey that law, punishment will follow. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Second Samuel chapter 6 and verse 6. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord is aroused against Uzzah and struck him there for his error. And he died there by the ark of God. So, Exodus 25, 14 and 15 says, you know, how they're to carry the ark. Stiles and the reins, and you're to tote it. Not to put it on an ox cart. Numbers 4 and 15 tells us, do not touch any holy thing lest you die. So, they had the ark going in here, and the oxen stumbled. Let's don't let it hit the ground. Instinct kicks in, you know. Anytime I'm moving anything, if it starts to fall, I'm going to catch it. God said, don't carry it that way. He said, don't touch it. Dead. Dead. Just like that. And to us, maybe it seemed kind of silly. It said, well, He just touched it to keep it from hitting the ground. God said, do not touch any holy thing lest you die. Because you're not holy. Matters not why, but you're not holy. So you can't touch anything holy. It doesn't matter why you started to touch something holy. Don't start giving me excuses I told you not to do it, and you did it. It's done. It's dead. He's over. Uzzah didn't even have time to think up an excuse to God. Dead, right there by the ox. You know. Hey, Noah, I want you to build this out of gopher wood. Well, God, pine's on sale this week at Lowe's. You know, it'd be a whole lot easier on my pocketbook here. No. God said use gopher wood. He didn't wait till Noah got halfway through and said, Noah, build an ark. Well, I know you're halfway done, Noah, but I wanted you to use gopher wood. Would you mind just tearing all that down and build? No. From the get-go, God gave specific instructions to Noah and to how it was to be built, with what it was to be built with. Now, go cleanse in the River Jordan, dip down seven times. Seven, that's a lot. That's a lot. I got a backache. You really want to bend over seven times? What about six? That'd be good? No. No. He told him where to go. He told him what to do. Naaman was like, well, I figured he'd give me some big thing to do. I figured it would have been something, you know, a big ordeal, something I had to do, but he just wants me to go dip in a River Jordan. God gives specific instructions that we're to follow, and He doesn't change His mind. When we're given specific instructions into how we're to act and how we're to live and how we're to worship Him, He expects us to do exactly that. Simple stuff. Go for wood. Use gopher wood. Go to the River Jordan. Dip seven times. Not six, not eight. Seven. Simple things to do. God does not change His mind. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Remember me saying there was nothing that you could do for you to be saved. Nothing that you, no matter how hard you work, without the grace of God and without Christ, you can't be saved. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. From the very beginning, when Jesus was conceived, it was said, he will save his people from their sins. That was the plan from the word go. It wasn't that this man was born and God said, well, that would be a good guy to pick, like He did with a lot of the prophets and a lot of the people in the Old Testament, that they became men and God found favor in them. And no, from the word go, Jesus was born with a purpose. Jesus was born to save us from our sins. Romans chapter 6. Verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that also that we shall also live with Him. There was no other way but Jesus. No other way. I think a lot of times maybe we say that gets said and we, as I've said so many times tonight, that, you know, personally, there's nothing that I can do. Though there's no other way that God would do it. He didn't want to send angels to just tear it up and say, it's done. Now y'all do what the angels said. He didn't say that. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. In verse 36. We have where Jesus goes to Gethsemane. I think too often we read through this, maybe miss one of the key points in all of this. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36 said, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began sorrowful, deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell down on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you just not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And now a second time, he went away and prayed. He said, oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand where the Son of Man is being betrayed into the sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. I said all that to point out what Jesus' prayer was. Jesus' prayer was, I've done all this, God, and I'm to this point, but I know what's about to happen. I know exactly what's going to happen. Because crucifixion isn't a new way of killing someone they invented this day. Jesus had probably seen a crucifixion before that. He had definitely heard of it. He knew the excruciating death that happened. He knew how they treated prison. Especially prisoners of a holy man. The prisoners the Jews take, he knew how they treated them. Because he lived there all his life. He knew the beating. He knew the mockery. He knew everything that was about to happen. He said, just if there's any way, Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Now I've seen, because I'm not a father, I have seen a child who's gotten in trouble. And at the moment that they realized, not even before daddy got on to them, I'm talking about as soon as they did something, they knew, uh-oh, daddy, I'm sorry, please don't spank me, I didn't mean to, I'm sorry. But yet you have someone who's innocent, someone who is perfect. And he comes to God and he says, can there be another way? Can there be another way other than me to do this? Can there be another way other than for you to hit me? Is there any other way that this can be done? And from the word go, God said, Jesus will save from their sins. There was no other way than for Jesus to do what He did. God does not change His mind. If there was ever going to be a point in which God was to change His mind, I think it would have been right there. When I have my only son begging me for any way other than me to endure this pain, I think that's when I would change my mind. But a comforting thought, knowing that when God tells us something, He's not going to change His mind. His promises are not going to change. His warnings are not going to change. As the world turns, as we go out and we, as man, manipulate the Word of God, God's Word does not change. The Lord's Supper, you know. Maybe we can do it once a month. No. No. What about on Saturday night? We get kind of packed on Sunday morning. We'll throw in one on Saturday night too, so maybe we get no. No. On the first day of the week, you were to remember His death. Singing's really good. I like to sing. But you know what would be even better with that singing? Would be if we throw in a piano and a solo about halfway through the service. That'd be awesome. No. Well, you know, the piano wasn't really around when the Bible was written. And I think that if God would have prepared for the piano and thought about it ahead of time, He would have thrown a piano in it. No. No. Because they had harps and flutes and drums. And if He wanted music to be in there, He would have said, you can play the harp, the flute, the drum. He said to sing. Just do what feels good, you know. If it feels good, do it and believe, you know. If that's what you think will save you, I want you to believe that with all your might. If you believe it with all your might, that'll save you. No. Because this is what God said to do. Because I know that God doesn't change His mind. God doesn't change His ways. So the things that the first Christians did are the things that I'm going to do. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what He told them to do, so that's what I'm going to do. You know, if you're here this evening, maybe you've been trying to do your own thing. God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed the way He does business. He never has changed. He never will. If you're not a Christian this evening, you're serving something that changes. You're serving your own will, someone else's will. You're not serving God's will if you're not a Christian. So you're ever changing. You don't know where you're going to end up the next day. We're not going to ask you to give $1,000 to become a member. We're not going to give you a bottle of holy water or give you a prayer mat to pray a special prayer over. We're not, when you become a member, give you an insider stock trading secret. But I'll tell you one thing we will give you. When you do what He said to do, it'll give you hope. It'll give you the hope that is in each one of us. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. We have hope. God cannot lie. He is the same yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. There's an old story that I've heard. I heard it outside the church first, and then I heard it someone use it in a sermon, and it fit very well here. But the old man and old woman were driving down the road in an old single regular cab pickup truck, 77 Silverado, red in color, nice truck. And she was sitting in the passenger seat and he was sitting in the driver's seat. And she said, "Honey, I remember when we were younger, we used to sit a whole lot closer together." And the old man said, "Hon, I ain't moved." Well, God ain't moved. God hasn't changed. He's still right there in that driver's seat. Have you moved? Where have you gone? Where did I write it down? I think it's 244. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you, whatsoever years may bring. If by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain heavenly treasures. They will never pass away. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. If you haven't been holding to His hand, you have right now. To, as the invitation song says, decide to follow Jesus. Make that your decision tonight as we stand and as we sing.